organizations in
هیچ
the world,
کس اعتراض
none
نکرد.
of them protested to these actions.
مردم و روحانیت در صحنه تنها موندن.
And in fact the people and the religious scholars, they were left alone. The Marxists and also the leftist governments and the leftist groups even condemned the people's move on 15th of Khordad. They said it was a feudal move, and the nationalists who spoke of a struggle,
این حرکت رو محکوم کردن.
They also
یک حرکت کور
condemned this movement, describing it as an extremist and futile movement.
هر جایی که مردمان عافیت طلب، راحت طلب
so
در وسط میدان مبارزه
who just
جایی برای خود باز نمی کنند,
seek their comfort and welfare and do not make any risk, they actually accuse the struggling people of extremism. And Imam Khomeini was left alone. But you see a divine and a spiritual leader. In fact, Imam was manifested as a divine and a spiritual leader in history. There were three major beliefs. From the view of Imam, and in fact these beliefs provided the late Imam with courage and resistance and steadfastness, believing in God and believing in the people and also believing in himself. And in fact one could see these beliefs being manifested in Imam's decisions and moves.
نشان داد با دل خود با مردم حرف زد.
He spoke with the people through his heart.
با جان خود با لبیک گفتند.
The people in fact responded to him by sacrificing their lives. They came to the, they were present in the scene and
از هیچ نقطه‌ای از
they were present on the scene and in fact
نسبت به اون نگاه محبت آمیزی
there was no kind of approach towards this movement by other people in the world, and in fact this movement gradually moved towards victory and it gradually attained triumph and victory.
من این سه باوری رو که در امام وجود داشت اندکی باز کنم.
Allow me to further elaborate on these beliefs.
مطالب مهمی است.
These are important.
اگر چنانچه جایی باز کند مسیر حرکت ما رو
and if we truly believe in these issues it will provide us with a bright future ahead.
امام مصداق این آیه شریفه بود الذین قال لهم الناس.
This is a verse from the Holy Quran, further indicating Imam's belief in Imam believing in God.
حسبنا الله و نعم الوکیل را امام با همه وجود ادا کرد.
Imam truly believed in God. And had a profound belief. He trusted God and he was certain about the promise of God, the divine promise, and he moved forward for the sake of God and He spoke for the sake of God and he took up action for the sake of God. And he was certain about the divine promise that will be definitely
materialized.
Imam truly recognized the Iranian people. He believed that this nation enjoys a profound faith, and considering this nation as a smart nation and a courageous nation, and in case of finding prominent leaders, this nation can shine like a sun in different domains.
یک عنصر نالایقی مثل شاه سلطان حسین
speaking of
موجب شد که ملت ایران
a figure like شاه سلطان حسین causing
اما در روز
the Iranian nation to lose its prestige but you see in another era of history a courageous man like Nader Anqoli when he emerges amongst the people and in fact when he leads the people this nation from New Delhi to the nation can actually show its presence, its outstanding presence. And in fact, it was realized by the late Imam, and he truly believed in this. And he knew the Iranian people very well, and he had trust in the people of Iran. And also speaking of the profound faith of the Iranian nation, the late Imam managed to contribute to the blossoming of the profound faith enjoyed by this nation, and this nation became a model of insight and steadfastness. The people were dear to the Imam, and in fact, the enemies of this nation were the most hated ones. You see, in combating against the domineering powers, the late Imam spared no efforts in combating these bullying powers because these domineering powers were the enemies of the nation, and in fact, the Imam considered as the real enemy those who practiced enmity towards this nation. Speaking of self-confidence, Imam Khomeini granted this nation with self-confidence and self-reliance. So the people came to realize that they are able to realize their objectives. And prior to this,
one
in fact, could see Imam restoring this feeling of self-reliance within himself in his true sense. On the day of Ashura in
1963,
Imam was in Faizia Seminary amongst the people and the seminary students, and Mohammad Reza Shah, who was supported by the US and foreign powers, And he was fully ruling this country. Imam threatened Muhammad Reza Shah. On the day of Ashura, Imam threatened that if told him that if you continue this path, I will tell the people of Iran to actually expel you from this country. So this has been expressed by a cleric residing in Qom, who does not have money and was not supported by the international community, and he said this only due to his self-confidence and trust in God. When Imam returned from exile here in, he addressed the people in Behisht-e-Zahra, the cemetery, and he threatened the government of Bakhtiar, and he said that with the support of people, I will also designate the government, and this was done due to his self-confidence. And he said that I will appoint a government. Such a self-confidence was transferred to the people of Iran through the words of the late Imam. It was inculcated to the people for 100 years, trying to inculcating to the people that people are not able to run their affairs and that they are not able to gain dignity and they are not able to the construction of the country and they are not able to just tread the path of scientific progress and so on. One of the effective tools used by the enemies for dominating other nations is inculcating this to these nations, eliminating the nation's feeling of self-confidence. The nations will become disappointed and they say, we are not able to do anything. With such a tactic, the Iranian nation for hundreds of years face backwardness in different domains, and in fact the Imam took away this tool of the superpowers, and he told the Iranian nation that the Iranian nation is able to take decisive decisions, and he provided the Iranian nation with self-confidence, and the Iranian nation came to realize that it's able to move forward, and we took up action, and therefore the Iranian nation has made progress in different fields. I'm going to mention them. So in the past, you see that in the past years, the Iranian nation has emerged victorious due to the feeling of self-confidence and self-reliance due to the measures and policies adopted by Imam Khomeini. At the beginning of the movement, these beliefs provided the Imam with the strength. When Imam traveled to Paris and when he returned to Iran, these beliefs provided the Imam with the strength. He arrived in Tehran. Also, in the month in 1978, and in declaring the system of the Islamic Republic and in resisting the tyrannical world order, and in declaring Iran's policy, and also in the course of the years of sacred defense, and also during his life, these beliefs were manifested in the personality of Imam, contributing to his steadfastness and also the policies adopted by the late Imam. Till the very last days of his life, no one could see any feeling of doubt or depression in the words and deeds of the Imam. No one could see these in his words and deeds. And you see many the revolutionary people in the world, when they reach older age, they may have a feeling of adopting a conservative approach or having doubts, and in some cases they in fact make changes to their words. But if you take a look at the statements made by Imam in the last days of his life, these statements were even more revolutionary compared to the statements he made in, for example, 1963. He became older, but his heart was young, and this is a steadfastness also mentioned by a verse in the Holy Quran. It has also been mentioned by another verse by the Holy Quran. So these beliefs kept Imam as a young individual, and his thought and his approach and his path became everlasting for this nation. And you see that these beliefs found their way amongst the people, amongst different strata of the society. There was a feeling of hopefulness and trusting God and self-reliance emerging amongst the people, and in fact eliminated any skepticism, and in fact the Iranian nation changed its approach, and God help this nation improving the condition, and in fact the Iranian nation improved its approach and motives, and then this nation was supported by God. And the result was that a dependent Iran turned into an independent country. Our young people, speaking of the dependency of the Pahlavi regime that was worse than Qajari regime, and the young people should know a lot of things about the dependency of that regime to the US and Britain, and in fact it was a shameful dependency. After the revolution, a prominent US diplomat said this and wrote this. He said that we were the ones who told the Shah that you are in need of this and that you do not need this or that. And it was the Americans who told the Shah about his relations, to establish relations or sever relations, or to sell this amount of oil, and to which country the oil must be sold. The administration of the country was done based on the US plan, and prior to that the country was run on the basis of the British plan. This country was a dependent country, and this and such a country turned into this independent Iran, a dignified Iran, and also the treacherous rulers were ruling this country, and they just thought about their lust and carnal desires, and such rulers were replaced with leaders representing the people. And in the past more than 30 years, those actually running the country's affairs were the representatives of the people, and despite the points of weakness and strength in different shapes and forms, you see, this has been a major feature, and the people leading this country, they truly represented the people, the individuals ruling the country, they truly represented the people, and they were not thinking about the materialistic aspect of the issue.
And
you see, the people's representatives ruling this country. Our backwarded country from the view of scientific progress turned into an advanced country. Prior to the revolution, we had no scientific breakthrough, but today other global organizations making surveys and assessments have make judgments about our scientific progress, indicating that the trend of progress is 11-fold more than the average rate. These centers have predicted that till 2017, Iran will stand in the fourth place from the view of the scientific progress. We had no scientific breakthrough, and today we are making such scientific breakthroughs. In order to construct a highway or a road or construct a dam or a factory, we had to ask foreigners and foreign engineers to come to this country and construct a road or establish a factory for us. Thousands of factories and many dams and highways have been constructed by the young people of this country, and they have become needless of foreigners' aid. Today, the scientific and technological progress of the country has reached this point of climax. So, can anyone overlook such progress in the health sector? For a relatively sophisticated surgery, the patient had to travel to Europe. In case of having money, he could receive treatment, otherwise he had to die. Today, the most sophisticated surgeries such as liver and lung transplant are being done inside the country, not just in Tehran, but in many other cities across the country. These are the capabilities that we enjoy today. And the Iranian nation does not need the foreigners and have attain succeed in these vital and important fields. Many parts of this country were forgotten, and prior to the revolution, I traveled to many townships and different parts of the country, and no attention was paid to the faraway and distant locations of this country. Today, there are a variety of services provided to people in the remotest areas, in different rural and urban areas of this country. You cannot find any place in this country being deprived of electricity or road infrastructures.
یک نقطه برخوردار بود در نقاط دوردست.
If there was electricity in a faraway area prior to the revolution, it was surprising, but it's the opposite today.
در جمعیت 30 میلیونی و 35 میلیونی
prior to the revolution, the population was 30 to 35 million, and you see that there were 150,000 students, and you see that the population has doubled and the number of students has increased 20-fold, and we have so many students, professors and universities and academic centers in even far away areas. There are, you can find tens of academic centers. There were provinces at that time, and there were very few number of high schools. But today, in the very same provinces, you see there are been several universities and academic centers set up, and this has been a major progress made by the Iranian nation. With the blessings provided by this revolution, these are important events, and there are abundant infrastructures being created in this country with the blessings of this revolution. Thousands of factories have been set up. Major factories have been set up in this country, and we had to actually demand certain products in the past. We had to request the foreigners to provide us with those products, but you see, today we have manufactured all these products inside the country, and these are due to the blessings provided for us by the beliefs enjoyed by the late Imam, trusting God, believing in the people, and also believing in one's self. Actually, we are not saying these in order to sort of exaggerating our achievements. We have a long way ahead if we compare ourselves with the Iran at the time of Pahlavi regime. You realize these achievements, but if we compare ourselves with the favorable Islamic Iran, a country delineated by Islam, a society delineated by Islam for us, a society where you find dignity, a society where you find moralities. If you compare ourselves to such a society, we have a long way ahead. Mentioning these points so that our courageous people and young people realize that they can proceed by relying on these beliefs.
بدانید راه طولانی است.
There is a long way ahead, but you are capable. You have the necessary strength and power, and you can tread this long path in order to attain your objectives with the necessary strength and speed. You can move forward. If the enemies want to create disappointment, it's due to their hostility towards us. And we have our roadmap. We are hopeful. So what is this roadmap? In fact, the principles followed by Imam have depicted this roadmap by relying on those principles. Imam managed to turn this nation into a dignified nation, and of course we have to make use of the very same principles forming our roadmap, and these principles are quite clear. Fortunately, the people have access to the Imam's views and remarks in several volumes, and these have been manifested in the will of the late Imam. In fact, we should not just resort to the name of Imam. We should also bear in mind his principles. In fact, Imam, through his principles and roadmap, Imam is an everlasting figure, an individual for the Iranian nation due to his principles and roadmap. These principles are quite clear. Speaking of domestic policy, these principles calls for relying on people's vote and maintaining the unity of nation, and also the popular nature of the rulers, and also the officials focusing on the needs of the people, and also making collective efforts for the country's progress. These form the principles of the domestic policy pursued by Imam. Speaking of foreign policy, Imam called for resistance in the face of interventionist and domineering policies, and also strengthening brotherhood with Muslim nations and having relations with countries, except countries who are hostile towards the Iranian nation, also combating against Zionism and fighting for the liberation of Palestine, and also helping the oppressed and resisting the oppressors. These are the principles followed by Imam Khomeini in his foreign policy. You can study his will, and also the books where you can find the remarks and statements by Imam. In the field of culture, these principles call for negating culture, and also negating hypocrisy with respect to religion, and also defending the teachings and precepts of Islam, and also combating against the spread of corruption in the country, in the society. Imam has called for reliance on self-sufficiency and also national economy, and also economic justice, and supporting the deprived people, and also these are in fact the principles considered. And also Imam rejected the capitalist system, and at the same time he called for respecting investment and also labor he called for having an independent economy, an independent national economy. These are the economic principles from the view of Imam. These are quite clear in his words and remarks. He always expected the officials to actually prudently implement these principles, and this is a roadmap delineated by Imam. The Iranian nation, with its young people, based on this roadmap, and due to its steadfastness and faith, a strong faith, and by remembering Imam, it can fill all the gaps and make further progress. So with these capabilities at its disposal, talents, and prominent individuals who are present, this nation, can further proceed with more strength and a more firm resolve, and in this way it can turn into a genuine model for Muslim nations. And concerning the elections, which is a lively and sensitive issue of these days, dear brothers and sisters, dear nation of Iran, elections is a manifestation of all the three beliefs mentioned by Imam. It's a duty, it's an obligation. It indicates our belief in God and our faith in God, and in fact every member of this nation has this shoulders this obligation, and it indicates one believing in the people, because it puts on display the will of the nation, and in fact these are the people who in fact elect the officials in this way. It's a manifestation of public will, and it also shows every person casting his ballot and king his vote indicates that he is playing his share in the destiny of this country, and has that this is an important issue. So it shows our belief in God and the people, and also our recognition of ourselves. So speaking of the issue of elections, the objective is to create a political epic, the people, and also having people's glorious presence at the ballot boxes. What does an epic mean? An epic means something done proudly and through a glorious manner. This is the meaning of an epic. Every vote you cast in favor of one of the eight candidates, it's a vote in favor of the Islamic Republic. By casting a vote in favor of any of the candidates, it's a vote indicating your trust in this establishment and also the electoral mechanism. When you participate in the elections, you are either the person who is the candidate or the person who is making the selection, like me and you. By entering this scene, it indicates your trust in the Islamic Republic and also your trust in the electoral mechanism. And in the second stage, it's a vote that you cast in favor of a candidate as we consider. So our enemies overseas, those miseries, they are after creating a threat against Islamic establishment. But this election is in fact a major opportunity for the Islamic establishment. They want to prevent people's massive turnout. They want to pretend that the people have no interest in the establishment, and or they seek to create a sedition. And 4 years ago, after the glorious elections, they created a sedition. These are the things pursued by the enemies of this nation, but they are mistaken. They are making a blunder. They have not yet truly recognized this nation, and they have forgotten the people's massive presence on the 9th of day, Iranian calendar, and they have forgotten that for 34 years, on 22nd of Bahman, one can witness people's massive turnout throughout this country showing their support for the Islamic Republic, and they chant the slogan of "Down with USA." In order to prevent a glorious participation by the people, their thinkers are active behind the media outlets, try to launch the propaganda ballyhoo. They say that they claim that the elections have been engineered, and they say that that have been manipulated, or they claim that the elections are not legitimate from the view of the people. They do not know our elections, they do not know our people, they do not know this Islamic establishment, and even if they know, in some cases, if they know us truly, they act in an unfair manner. You see, speaking of candidates, the well-known candidates and other candidates who are not well-known amongst the people, you see, all these candidates have been allowed to benefit from the media, the national media. You cannot find such a thing anywhere else. Can you find it in the U.S. or in capitalist countries? In capitalist states, if a member of the two or three parties, if the candidate was a member of one of the two or three parties, and if they were supported by the rich people and also the mafia networks, they were able to just have their campaigns, have their presidential campaigns. Otherwise, they will not be able to have presidential campaigns. I have followed the U.S. presidential elections, and there were individuals who were not supported by the Zionists and were not supported by the capitalist and bloodthirsty international network. And since they were not supported, they were not able to just participate in the presidential race. And in fact, they have to spend huge amounts of money for every second of their campaign on television. But in this country, you see the presidential candidates have fans without spending money, without spending a penny. They have the chance of speaking to the people for several hours on television. You cannot find such a thing anywhere else in the world. In order to run for the presidential race, the only thing that is dominant is the law. Based on the law, some individuals can participate in this race and some others are not allowed. The qualifications have been designated, and there are people who just decide about this qualification. Everything has been clarified by the law. You see, the external enemy closes its eyes and makes a comment, and these are the tongues that make these words that lack any virtue. But the Iranian nation, with the grace of God, through its presence and through its steadfastness, will respond to all these tactics, and it's going to be a decisive response. Allow me to also address the distinguished candidates. Speaking of their public campaigns, they also make criticism, and it's their right. And they can criticize, but they should bear in mind that criticism is aimed, must be aimed at the intention of treading the path of progress and also delineating a brighter future, and it must not be aimed at poisoning the atmosphere or creating disappointment. And from this very moment, the foreign media may start claiming that I do consider a particular candidate as my choice, and this is not true. I'm addressing the candidates who want to gain people's trust. I recommend and I advise the candidates to criticize, but at the same time, they should not undermine the major achievements made by this government or the previous governments, and people similar to them have been in charge, and they have made efforts round the clock. They should not overlook these efforts. So, criticism does not mean overlooking a positive jihad. Criticism means you explain about a positive action, and at the same time you show the points of weakness and flaws. So any person just becoming the president, he does not have to start from the zero point. Many major achievements have been gained in the course of different governments. Thousands of infrastructures have been created for this country, and science has made progress, industry has made progress, more infrastructural activities have been carried out, and planning has been done, and many projects have been implemented. So whatever they do must start from this very point. So due to economic problems, problems, inflation, and so on. You cannot ignore everything due to, on the pretext of inflation. There is inflation, and hopefully the next president would contribute to resolving these problems. But this doesn't mean that if we have a solution in mind for resolving the problems, if you have a solution in your mind, this does not mean ignoring other achievements. In fact, I recommend the candidates not to offer promises that it's not possible, promises that are not possible to be implemented and materialized. You should speak in such a way that if next year you see, you hear the comments that you have made, you should be able to realize the promises, and you should, in case of failure, you should not blame others for the failure. In fact, the president in this country, and based on our constitution, has many facilities and possibilities at his disposal. In fact, based on the constitution, the president enjoys wide scale authorities. He has access to the budget and is in charge of the budget of the country, and also the implementation of the law, and he is authorized to benefit from all the scholars and experts. And he has the only limitation for the president is the limitation created by the law. And of course, this is not a limitation, as the role of guidance, it has a, the law has a guiding role. It shows us our path ahead. Those who the candidates who speak to the people, they should make their remarks based on the capabilities and based on the needs of the people. They should promise the people that they're going to take action based on rationality and prudence. And if they have any specific plan, they should elaborate on their plans, and they should promise that they are going to move forward in a steadfast manner and promise to make use of all the capacities of the Constitution in order to fulfill their obligations, and also promise to focus on the management of the country, and also focus on the issue of economy. And of course, it has turned into a challenge due to the fact that the issue has been imposed upon us by foreigners, and they should promise not to focus on marginal. They should not focus on marginal issues, and they should not leave the hands of and also promising to attach significance to the interests, merely attach significance to the interests of the Iranian nation.
بعضی با این تحلیل غلط.
There are certain individuals who have this wrong analysis. They say we should give concessions to the enemies in order to alleviate their anger. They are actually, this is a wrong approach, and the enemy is due to the fact that you are present, is their anger is due to the existence of the Islamic Republic, and that the fact that the people remember the late Imam, and their anger is due to the fact that on this day, marking the passing away anniversary of Imam, the people are present in the scene, and also one should respond to such anger through national strength. And if the nation is strong, and if it reduces its needs and eliminates the problems, and today economy is the major issue, and if we improve the economic condition, the enemy will be defeated in the face of the Iranian nation. So what matters is believing in God, and also having a firm resolve and believing in ourselves. And this is also true about the candidates and also the people. 10 days from now, it's going to be a major test, and we hope that a major epic with major achievements will be attained with the grace of God.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Well, you've been watching the ceremony coming out of Tehran at the mausoleum of Imam Khomeini, this on the 24th anniversary of his death. And that was Ayatollah Khamenei addressing a lot of this 24 years after the demise of the leader of the Islamic Republic. Ayatollah Khamenei, said that basically paying tribute to the Imam is symbolic with the close bonds that the nation still has with the Imam, basically saying that in order to really pay tribute, we must continue to go the way of Imam, which means a very independent, very strong, and self-confident nation. And he says that when Imam originally talked years ago and showed the path of the revolution, he always had confidence, and that the nation today must continue to show the confidence and be sure of their capabilities. And he said that this is obvious in the many, many accomplishments, whether we're talking about scientific accomplishments or technological accomplishments, and that the nation should not have any fear and just continue to move forward. He also, of course, touched on the elections that will be taking place very soon in the Islamic Republic, and said this is another opportunity to create an epic by the people of the Islamic Republic of Iran, showing their continued support for the Islamic Republic. Also, he gave some advice to the candidates, basically being positive, and if they are criticizing, to make sure it is positive criticism and never to basically not look at the accomplishment of all the other presidents who have come before, because that ensured that none of them would have to start from scratch. Again, reiterating basically what the nation needs: to be strong, continue on the path, and to try to create an Islamic civilization. Well, that has been a slight summary of the words by the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Khamenei, this on the 24th anniversary of the demise of the leader of the Islamic Republic, Imam Khomeini.